is not the pot that I grew up with. Back then, you could smoke a half ounce of pot, and the most you get is a headache. You know, you wouldn't see nothing. You wouldn't trip. The stuff with the THC levels today, that's the reason why a lot of college students die. Like, they go on spring break, and they start drinking, and normally, at a certain point, if they weren't smoking pot, their body would reject it, and you'd start throwing up. You smoke the pot, then you keep drinking, you can consume more and more alcohol. And I think that's probably the reason why I had gotten so bad. I read a book by Susan Faludi. She's a microbiologist. It's a little dry reading. Her discovery of neuropeptides in the brain, they can actually scan your brain now. And I never understood why one of my buddies, a guitar player, he loved cocaine. He couldn't get enough of it. I told him one time he was coming over, and he said, "Man, I'm like, don't waste your money. I don't get anything out of it. It does nothing for me. I don't enjoy it. It's a waste of money." And after reading her book, I understood why. There's certain things in your brains that, because of the neuropeptides, they were able to discover something else. And over a period of 10 years, they can actually map your brain now and tell you if you're predisposed to certain drugs to become an addict. If you get no response, it's because there's no chemical link up. Now, what was weird is when she was treating me for it, I remember she treated me. About 20 minutes into it, I started seeing, like, purple hues. It was sort of strange. I'm sitting there going, wow, that was cool. I noticed I felt good. If you'd ever done drugs, the first couple of times, if you have a good experience doing acid or getting high or something like that, you get this welled-up feeling in your gut that, like, oh, things are good and happy. And I started feeling that again. I didn't think much of it. I felt positive. It was probably 12 at night somewhere. It was later at night. And I started tripping as if I had actually taken acid. It freaked me out. It had been years since I'd done anything like that. I mean, it scared me. I'm thinking, there's something wrong here, seriously wrong. Right about that time, all of a sudden, it was almost like I could feel Susan's presence, hear her saying, "It's okay. This is supposed to happen. It's going to be fine. Lay down, go back to sleep." Tripped me out. I'm thinking I'm losing it mentally. The next day I go over there, and she had gotten up in the middle of the night at the same time and said, "I felt something." She started writing something down. "I kept telling you, it's going to be okay. Go back to sleep." This really was bizarre. I know it sounds strange, but I remember what it was like. It was yesterday. And she said, "What goes into your body, when you're treating for it, it has to be removed and come out of your body."
It's currently recognized that addiction and addictive patterns are the results of imbalances in the brain, which leaves the person cycling, both biochemically to the addiction, but also in shame, ignorance, and dishonesty with themselves and others. While working with Michael and his body's inability to metabolize vitamins, minerals, and effectively break down sugars, new patterns were revealed and released. We now know that neuropeptides affect behaviors and choice. There are also excellent pathways to trace and modify one's behavior by neutralizing the energy patterns that contribute to the addiction. There are several very interesting components to the experience Michael describes. While he was being desensitized for a vitamin that he took during his period of substance abuse, Michael's body associated the vitamin with the substance. His session experience of color hues and tripping were the body's memory and neuropeptide link to both the vitamin and drug. Because neutralizing the memory entails a re-engagement and a release of the substance, or memory, Michael experienced tripping during the re-engagement phase of the desensitization process. The other unusual part of this particular treatment session was a mutual experience of each other's presence later on that evening, despite the fact that each of us were miles away from each other. I remember the event vividly. I was sleeping and woke up with a start. I looked in the left-hand corner of my room and saw his face in the glowing type of light. I blinked and opened my eyes, and yes, his face was still there. In this light, I clearly saw that he was profusely sweating. So I began to scan him to make sure he was still in the process of neutralizing the vitamin treatment. As I scanned, I moved some of the energy excess so he could be more comfortable and sent him an energetic message that he was going to be fine. The light got very soft, and he appeared to be resting calmly. I then went back to bed. The next day, Michael shared his experience, and I shared mine. It was the beginning of many such instances. This type of experience happens when we are connected to someone. It can happen with close relationships and can happen with situations as well. Deja vu is when we have an experience of something that seems like we've had it before. premonitions are another way to have advance information about something. Gnawing sensations in our gut are a type of having information without having direct, tangible information, because it is through our energy sensing system. In this case, we each felt and saw the presence of the other. I now actually teach people how to connect with one another at this level and how to disengage when these situations become overwhelming.